But why should we consume time in the examination of an obsolete argument? Because it still has a place in the standard works and textbooks of the various parties who practice infant baptism, and some may still be inclined to regard it as important, for long-cherished arguments are usually abandoned reluctantly. But as this argument has its root in the doctrine of the identity of the Jewish and Christian churches, it necessarily falls with that theory. We will, however, present some additional arguments designed to show that baptism did not come in the room of circumcision. 1. Circumcision was confined to the Jews and those purchased with money by them. Baptism is for all nations. 2. Circumcision was to be performed on native Jews at 8 days old. Baptism is for any age capable of believing the gospel. 3. Circumcision was confined to males only. Baptism is for men and women. If baptism came in the room of circumcision, why baptize females? 4. Circumcision applied to those bought with money. Baptism has no such application. No Christian man thinks of baptizing a servant simply because of purchase. But why not, if baptism came in the room of circumcision? 5. No faith was required as a qualification for circumcision, but believers only are baptized. When the eunuch demanded baptism of Philip, the answer was, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest," clearly implying that if he did not believe, he should not be baptized. 6. Circumcision was not an initiatory ordinance, but was for such as were already members of the Jewish family. And if not circumcised, he was to be cut off from his people. Genesis 17, verse 14. Baptism, properly administered, admits or introduces the subject into the kingdom of God. John 3 and verse 5. Therefore, baptism did not come in the room of circumcision. 7. Circumcision showed a man to be a Jew. Baptism shows a man to be neither a Jew nor a Gentile, but a Christian only. 8. Baptism is administered in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Circumcision was not thus administered. 9. Baptism is administered to show the burial and resurrection of Christ. Circumcision was not administered for this purpose because these events had not transpired when it was instituted, nor for many hundred years afterward. 10. Circumcision placed a man under obligation to do the whole law. Baptism frees us from bondage and puts no one under the law of Moses. Hence, it came not in the room of circumcision. 11. Baptism is administered for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Circumcision had no such object. 12. Baptism is for the answer of a good conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Circumcision had nothing to do with the conscience, but pertained wholly to the flesh. 13. Those baptized went on their way rejoicing. Acts 8 and verse 39, Acts 16 verse 34. We imagine that those who were circumcised were usually taken away crying. Therefore, they are not much alike. 14. Circumcision was obedience to the law of Moses, John 7 and verse 23. Baptism is obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 15. No one can be a spiritual subject of baptism who is not first taught the gospel, but many were circumcised before they were old enough to be taught anything. 16. The gift of the Holy Spirit was promised to those baptized on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse 38. This gift was never promised to any for being circumcised or as following it. This list of distinctions might be extended much further, but these are enough to show to every reflecting mind that there is not a shadow of resemblance in baptism to circumcision, and that one came not in the room of the other. But there arose a difficulty in the church in the days of the apostles concerning circumcision, which it seems to us would have been a good time to have settled this whole question. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren, and said, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. Acts 15, verses 1 through 6. Had the apostles only thought of the fact that circumcision had given place to baptism, which had taken its place, they would have answered something after the following style. Brethren, there need be no difficulty about circumcision, for baptism has come in its place, and hence you need only now be baptized and have your children baptized in place of having them circumcised as under the law. Would not such an answer have been most natural under the circumstances? Did they answer so? Peter said, Why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Verse 10. But he said not a word about baptism in the room of circumcision. After due deliberation, these inspired teachers wrote an answer as follows. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, Ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Verses 23 through 29. Now, be it observed that this letter was written by the apostles and elders from the church at Jerusalem, who had duly considered the question of circumcision, and it was approved by the Holy Spirit. And yet it contains not a word about baptism coming in the room of circumcision, and circumcision was the very thing about which the difficulty arose. Would a Pedobaptist council now write thus? Would they not more probably write something after the following style? Brethren, you need not now be circumcised, for baptism has taken its place. If you therefore have your children baptized and abstain from circumcision, you shall do well. Paul labors this question at great length in the letter to the Galatians, who were inclined to go back to the law. He says, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6. Is it not strange that while Paul was making this argument to keep his brethren from being circumcised, he never once thought of the fact that baptism came in the room of circumcision? Had he informed them of this fact, it would have settled the question forever. But he could think of every other argument except this, the most important of all. He told them it was a yoke of bondage from which to keep themselves free, that if circumcised they would have to keep the whole law, that they would lose all their hopes of salvation through Christ, that they would fall from grace, that in Christ circumcision would avail them nothing at all. All this, but never once said, Brethren, you need not be circumcised, for baptism has taken its place. Why did he not think of it? Will the reader think of it? But we insist that baptism did not come in the room of circumcision from another consideration. Both were in force under the same covenant among the same people at the same time. We have seen that circumcision was instituted in the family of Abraham for the Jewish nation, and that the covenant to which it belonged was not taken out of the way until the death of Christ. Hence it was in force up to the time of his death. John's ministry was confined to the Jews and ended before Christ began to preach. See Matthew 4, verses 12 through 17. Then John's ministry began and ended during the existence of the covenant of circumcision. And his baptism and Jewish circumcision were both binding among the same people at the same time, with this difference only. Infants were circumcised at 8 days old. Those only were baptized who had sinned and were willing to confess and forsake their sins. As circumcision and John's baptism were both in force at the same time, under the same covenant among the same people, how could one be in the place of the other? Again, if baptism came in the room of circumcision, why was it necessary for Jews who had been circumcised to still be baptized? We have stated that John's ministry was confined to the Jews who had been circumcised, and yet he baptized vast numbers of them. The Pharisees were the straitest sect of the Jews, and were so zealous for the law of circumcision that they even wanted to bind it upon Gentiles after conversion to Christianity. And yet the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, not being baptized of him. Luke chapter 7, verse 30. It may be they had made their objection to John's baptism because they had been circumcised. We suppose not. But whether they did or not, one thing is certain. Namely, it was the counsel of God that they should be baptized notwithstanding their circumcision. On the day of Pentecost, the gospel was preached to Jews who were commanded to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 of them were baptized, though as Jews they had all been circumcised. And Paul was a Pharisee, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel and taught according to the perfect manner of the law touching which he was blameless. Yet under special instructions from the Lord, Ananias commanded him to be baptized and wash away his sins. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Might he not have expostulated with the man of God thus? Sir, I am a Jew and have been circumcised. And as baptism came in the room of circumcision, however important it may be to a Gentile, it cannot be obligatory on me, as I have complied with the rite in the room of which it came, and for which it is a substitute. Why should I submit to the substitute, having received the original? Surely such a plea would have been in harmony with the theory. But as no such plea was made by any Jew, but every one of them converted to the faith of the gospel had to be baptized notwithstanding his circumcision, we conclude that circumcision passed away with the old covenant, of which it was a part, and that baptism has no connection with it whatever. Indeed, as circumcision belonged to the old covenant which has passed away, baptism cannot be in the place of circumcision, for it has no place. The covenant in which it had a place being gone, it would be quite as sensible to speak of a man having a place in a house which had been burned to ashes. A place in the house he may have had when it was a house, but when it ceased to exist he could no longer have a place in it. So, when the covenant to which circumcision belonged passed away, its place passed away, and it is idle to talk of anything coming in and filling its place. It has no place, only in Jewish history.